Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture today comes from Luke 6, verses 31 through 36. The news we consume sometimes consumes us. What is the really good news? Today, we find ways to tell deeply good news for all people by filtering our interactions through the lens of kindness. Today's scripture describes God's nature as kind, even and especially to those who turn their back on God's invitation to be kind. What we put into the world is part of our ongoing creation of the world. This really is the only thing we can control. The energy with which we react to circumstances and people. What will it be? From the Sermon on the Plains. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. My friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our world seems to be consumed with division. Oftentimes typified now by the colors of red and blue. Rather than stay in our monochromatic silos, the golden rule in scripture today challenges us to engage in conversations and to seek to create whatever common good we can with our relatives, friends, and neighbors, whom we might consider to be on the other side. Politically and ideologically. As we attempt to come together, the idea is not that we are to obliterate each other or try to change each other, but rather we discover the beauty that can be created when we work together to make the world a better place. The purple space is where we cultivate kindness, compassion, humility, respect and love for one another and for the good of all the world, no matter what. So let's look at Jesus' inaugural sermon, which in Luke is the Sermon of the Plains. In Matthew, you will have known it as the Sermon on the Mount. Sarah Hendrick is professor emeritus of New Testament at Luther Seminary, and she writes about this passage. She says, by the time we get to Luke 6, 20, 31, Jesus has already chosen his cabinet. if you'll forgive the political analogy, demonstrated God's commitment to healing and has begun to gather a reputation that brings folks to him in droves. Like Moses, who was Jesus' forefather in closeness to God, in faith and leadership, Jesus has both gone up the mountain and then come down to deliver a clear statement of God's will for the people. Jesus describes how the world will look as a world and that all God's creatures are brought around to be fully belong to God. It is a moment of faithful imagination of God's worldwide shalom, which has come near in Jesus himself. Luke has skillfully guided us step by step to the point where we must take Jesus' sermon on the plain with utter seriousness. These words describe a different world from Jesus' followers, a commonwealth of citizens. There is, then, a divide between the blessed and the woeful. It is, however, precisely not the divide that our world would create between winners and losers, successful and unsuccessful, elite or non-elite. The blessed are those who have caught at least a glimpse of God's future and trust that it is for them. The blessed may be poor and needy, even weeping in life by standards we human have in our very bones, but they are blessed in both trust in God's future, and their hope of justice. The woeful are those who have forgotten that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The woeful are those who say yes to the title question of an old song, is that all there is? Reverend Adam Hamilton of Resurrection United Methodist Church in Kansas City noted in a recent sermon he preached, a poll released on September 27th, 2020, found that 75% of Americans, both conservative and liberals and everyone in between, survey agreed with this statement. To restore peace and unity, we need leaders to model kindness and understanding. And then Adam goes on to say, but waiting for our leaders to model kindness and understanding with people they disagree may not happen if we, the people who elect them, are not willing to do it first. We may need to model for them kindness. And yet we live in a world where some whom we consider enemies today, people we might describe as dangerous because of their opinions and positions, and so we find ourselves asking if they're worthy of kindness. The passage we read this morning speaks of the reward that would be great if we love our enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. A reward that many of us find hard to imagine today because so much seems designed to reward us for hating our enemy. Underneath this teaching Jesus gives to the people on the plain, I wonder if we might consider today just how rewarded we are for doing the opposite of being kind, and what we might do about that in our relationships and communities. I'm reminded of that 1955 song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and Let It Begin With Me. It has special meaning for me. I remember singing this song in my youth group at First Presbyterian in Decatur. It was our theme song. Do you remember the song? The first verse goes like this. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our parent, siblings all are we. Let me walk with my sibling in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow. To take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth. And let it begin with me. My youth group sang this song as the Vietnam War raged on. As a teenager, the world I lived in was tempered by the war and riots on campuses. And I struggled to understand, imagine what peace on earth might look like. Our youth group discussed the war and what we might do to have peace. In one particularly meaningful retreat, we ended worship with this song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth," with everyone holding a candle that lit our faces. And I remember the thought, "Let peace begin with me," and it kept running in my head, and I wondered how that could be. And I now wonder if that was a foretelling of a call for me. In 2016, I was attending a conference when I first heard the term purple church. At an overflowing workshop that was held in a rather large room, I heard two pastors talk about how most of us have unexpectedly found ourselves serving purple churches. You know, red and blue. Somehow, in a short time, being politically correct and holding space for everyone was out the window, if you ask me. We had red churches or blue churches, and I remember pastors describing their congregation as a red congregation with a touch of blue, you know, red-purple, or vice versa. And now this divide has just become part of the background tape as I work each week to preach faithfully. Lately, I wonder if church might have a new call to help create a purple space where we could cultivate kindness and compassion, humility, respect, and love of one another and for all the world. What if we were willing to work towards the purple space where we could actually express our thoughts and worries without having our character assassinated? What would it take for us to say, "I don't agree with you, but you are a child of God, and so I will treat you with kindness and respect"? I have noticed that we silo ourselves these days with either folks that are red or blue. And when we don't, and I think what happens when we do that is we lose the check and balances of what we believe because we don't have someone that challenges our beliefs, someone that makes us think about what we believe. Okay. All those are good words. But let's consider some practical ideas about taking the golden rule seriously today and perhaps creating purple space. How do we model kindness and understanding with people we disagree with? So I'll go back to that original thought process of 99% of our DNA is the same. Absolutely the same. 99%. And the word kindness is developed from a root word that meant family, or what I would say is church family, or feeling of relatives with each other. Now, last week we talked about the fact that families are messy. Underneath that messiness, God continues to work for reconciliation. Can we work for reconciliation as well? Can we start by agreeing that we are willing to extend kindness to anyone in this space? Let's just start with this space. That we don't have to agree with them to extend kindness. But to do this, there's something else we must do. And that is a willingness to listen deeply and reflectively. To move beyond those negative generalizations and stereotypes about the side we disagree with. And seek out examples of how God works, even within the complexity of our most challenging issues. Can we take a moment to move away from the red or the blue silos and trust that God is at work? We just need to be siblings in Christ. Jesus tells us, instead, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. This week's my friends, let us practice kindness, be willing to listen, and be merciful. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.